At the top of our program, the Syrian refugee crisis has led to a series of intense consequences, from compassion and support to fear and alienation. One constructive response here in Michigan has been the formation of the Syrian American Rescue Network. The Royal Oak-based nonprofit was launched earlier this year. SARN's self-proclaimed mission is to assist refugees on their journey through cultural adjustment. Its ultimate goal is for Syrian refugees to be self-sufficient in Michigan. The group, which says it does not have a political or religious affiliation, is making a presentation this evening at the Islamic Center of East Lansing. Its aim is to rally and organize help for Syrian refugees who may be coming to Michigan. Yesterday, I sat down with an organizer of the event, East Lansing resident Farah Khalil. We were joined on the phone by Dr. Aisha Fatima, a physician from Bloomfield Hills. Both are SARN members. I first asked Aisha Fatima for more about how SARN helps Syrian refugees.
So once these refugees are brought in by the resettlement agencies, what we try to do is basically fill the gaps till they are completely self-sufficient. So our mission is basically providing humanitarian as well as economic support to these refugees as they reach self-sufficiency in Michigan. We have about approximately 35 families, majority of them who have come through Lutheran Social Services. So approximately 170 refugees who are here, housing as well as life skills. For example, they're here, they come here, they don't know the language. In 3 months, they're supposed to learn the language and start working, get a car, and everything. It is a lot to put on their shoulders, but more than 75% are actually have a job and are self-sufficient before 3 months.
Farah, who is attending tonight's gathering and what is it about?
Tonight's gathering is at the Islamic Center of Greater Lansing. We are going to have members of the Syrian American Rescue Network, St. Vincent Catholic Charities, IRRC, and then Lutheran Services. We are all coming together to collaborate to discuss the refugee crisis. The members of SARN are going to come and discuss the types of services that they offer. But at the same token, the other agencies which are coming, they're going to come and discuss the resettlement process of the refugees in the greater Lansing area, and what the public can do and what our community can do to help support them.
Is the public invited?
Yes.
What would be the sign of a successful gathering in your view, Farah?
A successful gathering would include people from our community, but also members outside of our community coming and learning and discussing and meeting the Muslim community of greater Lansing, many of which are Syrian. So I feel like that will help.
I'm talking with Farah Khalil, an East Lansing resident and an organizer of an event tonight at the Islamic Center of East Lansing that will try to coordinate and mobilize support for Syrian refugees in Michigan. Also with us, Dr. Aisha Fatima of Bloomfield Hills. Both are volunteers and members of SARN, the Syrian American Rescue Network, a nonprofit organization based in Royal Oak. Dr. Fatima, SARN says it does not have a political or religious affiliation. How important is the support of non-Muslims to your organization?
I think it is very important. And I personally got involved through, I'm the founder and director for Women's Physicians for Humanity, which comprises of all women physicians all over U.S. So without the non-Muslim support, I don't think we would have been so successful in helping these families.
Is it harder to enlist support from the non-Muslim community?
I don't think so. Our board member, one of our board members is Peggy Dahlberg, who is from Cranbrook Church, and she's a board member, Lutheran as well. I think they have been very supportive. Everyone is basically coming together for a humanitarian cause and not looking at it as a religious cause.
Yesterday, in a letter to Secretary of State Kerry and Homeland Security Director Jay Johnson, Michigan Governor Rick Snyder called for more discussions between state and federal officials regarding security surrounding the relocation of refugees from the Middle East here in the United States. This comes a couple of weeks after the governor called for a pause in Syrian immigration to Michigan until Homeland Security procedures were more thoroughly vetted. How do you feel about the governor's actions, Farah?
Well, I think anyone in leadership, their first response is going to be, I want to take care of the people in front of me. So I think his response is natural. However, it makes me question, does he fully understand the refugee resettlement process? Because from the information that I've gathered from the resettlement agency, this is a very lengthy process. It's a very strict process. There's a lot of background checks that these refugees have to go through. And there's a lot of people who are rejected in this process. So when the governor is questioning something like this, I also feel it causes a state of fear amongst the public. Personally, I feel like he doesn't have a full understanding of the resettlement process in itself. It makes me think that way.
Dr. Fatima, Michigan has reportedly become home to around 180 Syrian refugees in just the past year or so. That's one of the highest yearly numbers among all of the states. Is that a number we should feel good about?
I'm not sure if we have that many Syrian refugees, but I can understand when, you know, people are worried because, you know, I'm a citizen of United States. I have children, and, you know, I wouldn't want to endanger the life of our fellow citizens. I'm not a Syrian. I'm, you know, as I said, I'm a humanitarian. But I think the refugees are already the most thoroughly vetted population of anyone entering the United States. So the screening process involves the Department of Homeland Security, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the Department of Defense, and multiple intelligence agencies. And each refugee is personally interviewed and undergoes a series of biometric and, you know, investigatory background checks. So the whole entire process typically takes more than 2 years. And, you know, history tells us that, you know, since 9/11, they're reported to be about 750,000 refugees resettled in the U.S. Not a single one has been arrested on domestic terrorism charges, despite many coming from Middle East, including Iraq and Syria. So it doesn't make sense to me.
Farah, a founder of SARN, not a Kurdi of West Bloomfield, told the Lansing State Journal this week that mid-Michigan, Lansing and East Lansing, would be a good place for more Syrian refugees to settle. You're a resident. Do you agree?
Absolutely. I also feel like there's a tremendous amount of support outside of the Islamic Center. I recently attended an interfaith event at the People's Church on Grand River. That was my first time at the church. All the different reverends and the clergy members of the, you know, that attended that event, every single one of them was promoting the support of Syrian refugees and for humanity to come closer together. And when I attended that event, it was it just showed me that there's so many people out there that want to do more for the refugees.
Dr. Fatima, you recently returned from Jordan, where you helped Syrian refugees at an enormous camp, Al-Zatri. Describe what you saw, please.
So Zatri is one of the largest refugee camps. It was actually started in 2012 and is managed by UNHCR and the Jordanian government. And it has close to 90,000 people. And this was a medical mission trip, so basically I saw the health problems. I'm a pediatric gastroenterologist, but I mainly did pediatrics. I practice pediatrics in these camps. One of the things that I cannot forget is a starving 3-day-old baby that mom brought in because the baby would not stop crying, and the baby just had to eat. And I was like, you need to feed this baby. And she was not, you know, with all the stress, I guess, the mothers are not producing enough breast milk. And they have no formula, and they don't even have milk, like fresh milk, in the camp. So, you know, it is a jail that you just can't go in and go out. You have to take permission, and I think the maximum allowed is 4 days. So I was so heartbroken. I was like, take this money and get the formula. And she was like, and feed the baby now. And she was like, she has to take permission to go out. So I really felt helpless, you know, as a physician, as a mom. It was something that I don't think I can ever forget.
How much assistance were you able to offer these refugees?
I think the majority of the kids that we saw had protein malnutrition. So there were a lot of stunted growth, and in those cases, you know, you can't do much other than improving the nutrition, which as a medical team, we were not able to help. But we were able to help asthma patients, and I was able to help some Crohn's patients, so that was dear to me. But then there were a lot of patients that they didn't have the amenities to do that. So I don't think it was a completely satisfying in one way, but about 50% of the patients that we saw, I think the parents just wanted to make sure that the kid is okay. So just because, you know, they have not been seen by a physician, so just to reassure them that their children were doing okay, and that was satisfying.
Do you intend to go back?
Absolutely.
Dr. Aisha Fatima of Bloomfield Hills is my guest. We're also talking with Farah Khalil, an East Lansing resident and an organizer of an event tonight at the Islamic Center of Lansing that will try to coordinate and mobilize support for Syrian refugees in Michigan. Both are members of SARN, the Syrian American Rescue Network, a nonprofit based in Royal Oak that assists Syrian refugees in Michigan. Did the Paris massacre or do other such incidents have an impact on SARN? Do they make generating support easier or harder?
It definitely makes it harder. I was hoping to increase the number of Syrian refugees from 10,000 to 30,000. And we actually, since I work at Beaumont, I was able to ask the support of all the hospitals, DMC, Beaumont, as well as Henry Ford, if they have a good infrastructure. So basically what we were trying to do was put up a proposal along with Governor Snyder so that we can actually go to the federal government asking them that we actually have enough infrastructure to support more than 10,000 refugees. So we had such great strides, and all of a sudden, after, you know, the Paris attacks, it just backlashed the whole thing. So I was not here. I was in Jordan when this happened, and it was a shock to me when I read that Governor Snyder said no to Syrian refugees. I actually broke down because I was in Jordan seeing those refugees right in front of me, their conditions, the heartbreaking conditions, and when I read this, I couldn't take it. I broke down. So I think we cannot turn our backs, you know, on these people in desperate need. France, you know, the site which was directly affected by, the attacks, even they pledged to take in 30,000 Syrian refugees. They said they will increase border controls while still remaining, you know, true to its value. I think that's what we have to do. We can't turn our backs right now.
I want to thank both of my guests, Dr. Aisha Fatima of Bloomfield Hills, along with Farah Khalil, an East Lansing resident, who is also an organizer of an event tonight at the Islamic Center of Lansing that will try to coordinate and mobilize support for Syrian refugees to Michigan. Good luck to both of you, and thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.